Blog Talk Radio.
You are tuned in to Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir and Sherry Pang. Stay tuned as we enter the world of the unknown. There is a silent, invisible world that surrounds us all. A world we don't understand. A world that we wish to understand. And on Paranormal Horizons, we're going to explore this and hopefully get some answers. Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm Jason Ophir, here with the beautiful and talented Sherry Pang, my co-host. Sherry, how's it going?
Pretty good, Jason. How you doing? How's your week going?
It's been uneventful, just working. I want to be a multimillionaire or quite possibly a billionaire and not have to work anymore. It just consumes too much of one's life to have to work all the time.
I know. Isn't it something where you work all the time and then you pay for things and you spend more time paying for things that you can't really enjoy unless you're on the weekend or something?
Yeah, I like my job. It's just, you know, quite honestly, if I had the option not to work, and I think most people would agree with me that they wouldn't work. I mean, it'd just be nice to be independently wealthy and do whatever you want. But that's fantasy land. That's not the real world. So I guess I'm just going to have to stay a working stiff. How has your week been?
Pretty good. And just want to say I was at the Bigfoot Fest and saw Clyde Lewis and his beautiful wife, Janine, and we hung out for a little bit. And it was wonderful. Got to see Cliff Rockman and say hello to him. Got a chance to chit-chat. We're going to have him back. Hopefully before the year's out. Our schedule is kind of wonky right now, but it's wonderful to see all these guys that are on the media and on radio and being able to just chit-chat with them, and really nice down-to-home guys, you know, that are here, and, you know, being able to come together and Big Fest and everything Bigfoot, paranormal, you know, it was good. So if you don't believe in Bigfoot or UFOs, you might feel a little bit out of place. And if you're not in that arena, you might feel a little bit awkward. But it was having people gather and just really having, sharing their beliefs and their openness was really wonderful. So anyway, how's things going with you, Jason, other than anything new on the internet that you've been surfing on?
Not really. I haven't really had an opportunity to kind of follow what's been going on with the paranormal. I've kind of given up getting on and searching because, as you know, there's just so much fakery out there, intentional, malicious fakery out there. So it's hard to know what to believe. But I haven't really noticed too much in the mainstream media, anything weird going on. So I haven't really spent much time doing that, actually.
Well, and like I said many times before, anytime you and I either post or may say something, may not be possibly our personal taste or opinion or anything else. It's just something that we can entertain our guests. And it's up to you whether we welcome good, bad, or indifferent types of comments, but we don't have any particular, attitude or any way of saying this is it, this is true, this is not true, because we don't know. But it's good to, you know, expand your mind and question whether it's real or not. So, but our new guest is going to be coming in solo. It's Clyde Lewis's wife. For those who don't know, Clyde Lewis is very well internationally known as a radio show host. He is syndicated over 325 radio stations across the country. Ground Zero, very awesome, fantastic show. And his wife and I have just met for the first time yesterday, and her and I just clicked. A lot of similarities, and she's just a beautiful soul. And I believe it or not, that I didn't know, but she is into the environmental arena. So we're going to talk about environmental hazards. We're going to talk about synchronicities. We're just going to go with the flow, but this lady is just very charming and just wealth of knowledge, and I just love talking to her, and I'm sure our viewers are going to get something out of it tonight, okay?
Speaking of environmental, I'm kind of curious, and I got to do some more research. What's going on with Fukushima? We don't hear about it anymore. Are oceans completely irradiated by now? Have you heard anything on that lately? It's not reported.
I haven't heard about it reported, but you know how that is. It can be hush-hush, you know what I mean?
Could be eating irradiated fish. Well, let's get her on right now.
I don't know, and again, we don't know. When you see these things, you don't know if it's CGI. Is that computer graphic imaging or whatever? But I do believe myself that all that radiation that is leaked, there's some hush-hush going around. This is just my personal thing, but it may not be true. But you can see these marine animals that are coming really deformed and cysts and tumors and all kinds of things. So, you know, maybe we can talk about that when we bring Janine on.
I just brought her on. Janine, how's it going? Thanks for coming on.
Hey. Hi, guys.
Hey, guys. Hey, gal. How
Hello.
You doing?
Oh, good. I'm great. So, today... interesting in the valley here, smoky coming down in from British Columbia and up from the wildland fires that are happening in California. So a lot of biological effects to people in our valley here. So being very aware of that, breathing the air.
Do you think it's like, and I don't know what's your take, but the first thing that comes to my mind, is it like if you were, whether you're healthy or you're sick or your immune system is compromised, do you feel like you're inhaling secondhand smoke?
You know what it feels like to me? It feels like this. It feels like since the administration has changed how many particulates that can go out into our atmosphere, and then add on to the lack of funding to the wildland fire systems, it's kind of like you get a dose of everything into your lungs right now. So, I don't even know. I've had like chronic lung illness, not okay, except over the last, it's been like probably over the last 2 months, you know. I don't know what's going on, but I do know what's going on, and I'd like to talk about a lot of what's going on. So, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like secondhand smoke, hon. And it's just, it's beyond secondhand smoke. That's all I can say.
I work in a hospital, and it seems like there has been a lot of people with respiratory stuff going on. Probably due to the air. I just watched a documentary on this one town in China, and it's like one of the most air polluted places on the planet. And it's not uncommon for it to just be not just unhealthy, but like dangerous. Like, don't go outside without a respirator.
I'm tongue tied. That scenario for the United States probably will happen in the near future if we keep on with the present administration. And I'm just saying that, you know, when funding gets cut along the lines of, and it usually gets cut first with education, okay? And then it gets cut with environment, okay? So then you have no education and you have, like, no environmental protections. So now what you have is you have kind of a dictatorship that has taken over, you know, our environment and our ecological common sense. And if you look at, you know, how business is run in countries that, you know, kind of put the environment, you know, as second to making greed as the top priority, it becomes a nightmare, and people, humanity suffers, human beings suffer. So, like, more instances of, you know, requests going out for an N95 respirator just so we can breathe in our own country, I think are going to happen, as I stated, if this present administration continues. And it's becoming for people that work in as, you know, consultants and constituents of the wildland fire systems and the public health agencies, we're finding once again, and I'm going to repeat this, that we are not getting the funding. We're getting the axe. We're getting cut, okay? We're getting cut. And when you take away those programs and you take away, I mean, and just on my street alone, I can walk outside and people are getting depressive. And it's becoming this huge wave of, like, pestilence happening on this planet. I can walk outside my front door on Powell Boulevard, okay? And I can look at mounds of trash on my boulevard, whereas before this administration took effect. Now, I'm saying that the House of Representatives was Republican, and I'm not bashing Republicans. I'm saying that, you know, the good old boys, it's time to put away the dogs on the porch. It's time to, you know, kind of bring in a new way of thinking, because we're not the future. Our children's 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 ad infinitum is our future. And we're not, like, into mother load greed so that we can all, like, wipe out whatever natural resource we have left. But what I'm trying to say is that people have gotten depressed, and I think a lot of hope is being given up. So as far as seeing the effects of people coming into hospitals, that's a reality. And more we're going to see mutant, virulent strains of stuff. And I'm not saying this to say, ooh, it's doom and gloom and all this, but it's the reality that's being created by the greed of this, of what's happening around. And those in power, like, say, for example, if I'm working with an administration that's trying to protect our little valley here, then, you know, that's what I'm going to try to do. And one of the guys that I work with recently, he spoke out on NPR, and he spoke out on our Oregon Public Broadcasting Networks about how funding has been cut from wildland fire stuff and how funding has been cut. And I can go on about funding all day long because I'm totally aware of the problem that it's creating. But it's saying that, okay, now we can put so many more parts per million of a toxic chemical into our waste, not our wastewater, into our water systems and into our air quality systems. I'm freaking out over here in the corner, jumping up and down, saying, what and who is going to stop, you know, these tyrants from doing what they're doing? Because it's killing people, flat out. It's like a genocide. There, I'm off my soapbox.
I wonder how long the planet can sustain itself with its current population growth. I mean, eventually it's going to get to a point where it's unsustainable, and, you know, we're not going to have the resources to survive. Maybe 100 years, maybe 1,000.
Now. I'm saying right now, what was it? Hawking had indicated that we've got 100 years before he died. He said this planet, it's looking at 100 years before the function of the planet just says, I can't do it anymore. I read an interesting article today, contact lenses, people flush them down the toilet. What was it? It was like 6 point something million tons or something, or I probably threw out the million tons, but they're saying that the microplastics from contact lenses are ending up in even the purest of water systems because there isn't any way to get that out of the water. Okay? So, I mean, if you don't, what are we going to do? Are we going to have plastic rain? We've got acid rain. What, you know, what more, you're right, what more can this planet take? And I think to be aware of, you know, Hawking saying, you know, she's got 100 years. Well, what was that? Was that 5 years ago? So maybe 19, you know, years to go down the road and we're going to see some more stuff. You were talking about Fukushima recently and in the show earlier. You kind of threw out something about that. And
yeah, what's up with that?
One of my buddies in the real world, he's an environmental nuclear physicist, okay? Now, to have a job as an environmental nuclear physicist is an absolute trip because he can watch stuff in a, you know, with the algorithms and whatever's, you know, whatever's evident to their experience and trying to figure out what is going on because they really don't know, okay? And that's fact. We really don't know what altered states of matter are contained within these vats of, you know, hey, let's superheat it or let's, you know, dig it up or try to contain something that you have no containment of. And, you know, I think if you were to go along with a Geiger counter along the coasts of Oregon, Washington, British Columbia, California, all the coast and go inward a little bit, I'm sure you're going to find, you know, a four-legged, you know, frog with four rear legs and, you know, maybe three eyes and maybe a mutant canary, you know, because it all breaks down. And what is it, a nuclear isotope has a half-life of like, what, 50,000 years, you know? So, and then, like, what was it, in Australia, one of the currents that came through down around, I think it was Brisbane, a kid, after a football game, soccer game, he went out to relax, stuck his legs in to, you know, cool off his tootsies, and he ended up, like, pulling his legs out about 20 minutes later, and the creatures, whatever, they were like the sea lice or something like that, they were, like, flesh-eating thing. So he pulled his feet out and his legs were bloody, you know, from
what?
I'm thinking things, you know. Yeah, serious, you can look it on like mainstream news and it I'm like amazed, you know, that people dump their yuck into the oceans and still do to this day 30 miles out, yet, you know, we're worried about something that like it went China syndrome at Fukushima over 10 years ago that's already affected us, okay? So, I don't know. It's what mutates at whatever speed. So when you look at what, you know, as an environmentalist or as a nuclear physicist, you know, you look at the impacts of the nuclear industry or nuclear age on our environment, and, you know, excuse me, we have species, you know, that are extinct, you know, that go extinct on a rapid basis. But Fukushima, my God, who knows, you know, what, there was a Chernobyl, there was Three Mile Island, there was even our neck of the woods, Hanford Nuclear Reservation. I mean, I don't know. There's the train that goes around with nuclear waste on it. There's the train that explodes, you know, because they carry, you know, chemical waste and vaporizes towns, you know. We don't hear about stuff like that in mainstream because people would absolutely just freak the out. They just would, they wouldn't be able to turn on their happy days or whatever they're watching to tune out and drink their Bud Light or whatever it is, you know, and say, all right, Billy, it's time to go to the store and get some TV dinners. You know, it's such a weird space to be in, to know that, you know, psychically, I'd like to claim that we are in the last days. And even though I'm not a Judeo-Christian person, I have psychic ability. And that's why I'd like to talk to Sherry about synchronicity. And if we can get on that page, that would be cool.
Yeah, what about synchronicity? I've Googled it. I'm not really familiar with that at all. How is synchronicity defined? What's the definition?
How's it defined? Let's see.
Yeah, isn't it like where
read the what is it? Wikipedia definition of it? A popular kids book. I don't know. What do we got here? Synchronicity.
Something to do with something. Like, it's like two seemingly unrelated events that are connected or something. Like, I always see it as like a weird coincidence, but I don't really know what how to define synchronicity for the listeners.
So it's kind of an unconscious processing of deja vu, or like a prophetic dream, not prophetic. So if, say, like, maybe you're driving in your car and you hear a song on the radio and it reminds you of someone, and the next thing you know is that that person calls you on the phone and you haven't spoken to them in, like, 3 years. Or, like, for example, when Sherry and I were at the Bigfoot Festival in Troutdale, Oregon, I drove my car without a parking space, and the caretaker happened to be my son's old crossing guard who now lives at the caretaker's house, you know, that kind of stuff that goes on, you know, so no coincidences. Like the big raise that you didn't think you were going to get at work, and then you get the big raise, you know. Or somebody needs a rebirth, or they need a psychic check-in, and they have self-doubt, and they're walking down the street, and they find a happy birthday balloon that just kind of floats out of the ether and gives them the signal that, hey, you know, it's time for a different awakening, or, you know, just stuff like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense to me. How about you, Sherry? Are you familiar with synchronicity?
Oh, I believe in it wholeheartedly. Absolutely. Part of my life, synchronicity. Pay attention. Pay attention to the things that are happening in your past, present, and a possible future. And just be aware. Just be aware of your surroundings. Be aware of the people that you're around. They are there to help you and teach you and hopefully evolve you into a better human being. So, synchronicities are experiences that are taught if you're aware of yourself and your surroundings, and they help you. They help you guide you to where you need to go. And if you don't listen to your synchronicity, sometimes, you know, the universe or God or whoever you believe in is going to be tapping on you. So, you know, if they don't tap on you, then pretty soon they're going to knock at the door. And if they don't pay attention then, they're going to be pushing you over to the other side. So yet you do pay attention. Sometimes people don't, you know, so it just depends. But, I fully believe in synchronicity, absolutely. I try and be aware of it moment by moment. You know, it's not always, but, you know, it's sometimes we're human and we try and be the best we can be. So, but synchronicity, it was like her. I mean, as an example, synchronicity when, you know, I was doing a reading and Janine came up and I saw her, I recognized her. I'd never seen her before, but it was like I knew who she was and I just could tell by her energy and everything, gave her a big hug. And it was like synchronicity. We were meant to connect with each other in a profound way and be able to, you know, relate to each other. So that's what you call synchronicity. Things don't happen for no reason. Absolutely.
It was the creation of knowing that your reality is what you can create. And when two people come together like Sherry and me, it was such a refreshing, amazing click. I mean, I was, Sherry, I'm so thrilled to meet you, to know you, to be part of, you know, a learning curve for me. And I was talking to your husband, and I was trying to explain to him about string theory,
mm-hmm.
which is part of synchronicity. And I was saying to him that, you know, imagine yourself as being like this golden orb spider out, you know, and you cast a web, and it's that web is universal, so that each person that comes into you as part of the universal whole sends out a vibrational, and it can be a tension, it can be a little bubble, and you can feel the different parts of the, I want to call it the wheel, as you turn and move through life. And if you stay with the flow and just keep your mind open, that you can attract amazing, positive, good stuff. And good stuff is like, you know, I don't know. It's whatever you want that good stuff to be, because each person has their individual intellectual side. So I can't say what people's good stuff is. So, and I was going to say to you, Sherry, that when you were doing a reading, you had said, and this is cute, that the one girl I don't know, something about a reading or not a reading. And I said, she's going to come back, and she came back. So that was cool. So you got to do that reading. It was awesome.
That's great.
Awesome.
That's synchronicity, all right. What were you going to say, Jason?
Oh, I've always believed that we manifest our own reality. I mean, if you put your thoughts out there, you know, I've seen many instances in my life where I've wanted something and it seemed completely unobtainable, but then through some weird coincidence, I end up getting it. So I totally believe that we are able to manifest whatever it is we want, you know, be it physically, emotionally, spiritually, health-wise, whatever. It's just a matter of tapping into it, and I'm not that good at it, so it only happens to me randomly. I've got to figure out how to
get myself in the vibe. No, you have to stop. When you just said, no, I have to stop you. You said, I'm not that good at it. You cannot give me negative no. I can't deal with that no. I can't hear that no.
Yeah.
La,
nope.
La, 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 no.
That's a good catch, because, you know, I totally agree. That's totally a good catch, because now I'm setting, you know, limitations on it. And I think that's probably what a lot of people kind of are programmed to do as well. But yeah, no, that's a good catch. It's absolutely correct. I'm limiting myself. Anything is possible. Anything.
So to keep that in mind and to understand that and evolve to believe that in your thought form, in your subconscious, to believe that is part of your manifestation and your capability. Like, my manifestation is I'm holding on tooth and nail to believing that we can diagnose and treat this malice that has happened to our planet. And I keep holding on to that. But one of the strangest thing of my being happened during that lunar tetrad phase. And the moon really, for people who have psychic ability, it can affect us, okay? And I was really drawn to not wanting to know, okay? I didn't want to know. I didn't ask to, you know, to have psychic abilities. It wasn't my plan. I didn't go out and say, yay, me in the corner, please, I want to be psychic. No, I mean, I'm a professional. I've been in, you know, I've worked in juvenile courts, you know, and I just don't want, you know, the gift, but I have the gift. So to be able to see what was happening was so disheartening to my core being. It was like, you know, I've got my statue of my reclining Buddha over here. I have my Anubis and my pyramid symbology over here, and, you know, my salt rocks and my jet jaguar and, you know, Godzilla stuff, you know, just all kinds of, you know, memorabilia and symbology and little heroes that I've created for my life. But to see that lunar event that happened, I don't know how many people got freaked out by it, but I most certainly got freaked to the max. When the last moon, when the super moon happened, okay, it was like a wind of death, I swear. And I felt it in my core being. And I was like, what has just happened? And, you know, for me to go on the next day in my existence and try to do my after action review and improvement plan and, you know, whatever I was doing, it was like I didn't have a lot of energy and I was scared. I was afraid for the first time in my life of something that I couldn't put my finger on, and that was synchronistic, because the next morning, a friend of mine who's a capital defense lawyer, he's an assistant capital defense lawyer, gives me a call, and he said, Janine, you're never going to believe what happened. And I'm like, what happened, you know? He was like, one of his prisoners, one of the people that was on death row, bit through his own wrist and committed suicide at 3:33 a.m. at night of that super moon. And the guy's name was Pazuzu Alvarez, or Algared, or whatever his name was. But then when I'm like, well, why are you telling me this? You know, what's going on? He goes, well, you know, you're into mysticism and all this stuff. And I'm like, I don't want to know. You know, I don't want to know this. So come to find out, you know, so I'm on Google and I'm checking out what Pazuzu this thing is. And it's a demon of pestilence and creepy weirdness. So I'm kind of like, why would my friend call me to tell me this if it wasn't somehow synchronistically connected to whatever is going on in our world, if that makes sense, on a psychic level? So I was like, wow, so this pestilence thing is here. And I'm saying that because I know that I can't explain how or why he called me to tell me this information. I know that he did, as a fact. So I can't say, well, you know, I had a psychic vision, because it wasn't a vision. It was a phone call from a real human being, from another real human being, which was possessed by some demonic thing or whatever they do when they do whatever. And I mean, come on, is that supposed to be part of my knowledge that I carry? You know, I mean, why me? I just want to know why me. Why do I have to have the synchronistic, you know, event that occurred? I know possibly other people have had some probably horrific or really fantastic experiences in their existence with synchronicity. I would rather be the kind of synchronistic kind of thing. You know, you're driving in your car, you hear a song, your friend calls you, but they're not telling you that some guy who proclaims to be the angel of pestilence has just, you know, committed suicide so he can fulfill a prophetic note. So
I would have trouble sleeping. That would make me wonder, too. I mean, I totally get what you're saying. It's like, why, you know, why are we going that direction? It's like, why did this person call? That's weird. That would just creep me out, kind of, because I've heard of the name Pazuzu before. I don't even like saying that name.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it makes you think like you're going to say Beetlejuice, you know, and then something's going to happen.
Yeah. I know, right? looking over my shoulder right now.
So wow. So So, yeah, so I don't know, so some kind of protection stuff, and I don't know how to do that, maybe with the, you know, smudging. Or so I was walking around the Bigfoot Festival, and they had some crow feathers, but they weren't crow feathers, they were turkey feathers. And turkey feathers, according to Native American traditions, are friendship. So how can you smudge? You know, what smudging is, like, you light cedar, some kind of incense, and you know, cleanse the air, right, with smoke, and you wave around your hawk feather, eagle feather. I guess those are banned from, you know, ceremony, but only if you're a true-blooded Native American can you those in ceremony. And I guess those that walk on the red path know that, I don't know what they know because I'm not part of that, but I know people who are, and I'm not sure. I probably should call her after I get off the phone with you guys and talk to my medicine woman friend who lives in Meagher, Oregon, and get her take on all this stuff, and she'll probably, you know, do some chanting or some dancing around me, or try to put on some kind of protection ceremony for me and protect me, because I feel like, you know, my energy is pretty low right now, and I don't want that to affect anyone else in this wave. I want to be able to bring hope and light and in spirit, but to hear, you know, the information that I've got in firsthand from people like, you know, the environmental nuclear physicist guy, the capital defense lawyer guy, the public health officer of, you know, whatever county, to get that information and to hear, you know, I think my husband Clyde interviewed Stephen Hawking once, and they were talking about Santa Claus or something, and I think that Stephen Hawking actually believed in Santa Claus because he couldn't disprove the belief, but that kind of carries it over to say, you know, is there really a Santa Claus, and do we really have a Christmas coming, and, you know, what do we believe in anymore, and what do we hold sacred to ourselves? So I guess I'm a little disenchanted with Disney World right now. So no magic castle, no deposit, no return on that bottle. I'm just not a very happy psychic guest, I could say, right now. Not with the information that has been given.
It's
so
almost pain.
I don't really have a lot of good news.
Yeah, it's almost draining, and the fact that you're aware of it is one thing, and you sharing it is another. It's you know, to me, it's being honest and truthful, and, you know, it may not be, you know, what another person may be, you know, truthful, but at least that's your take of what the reality of the things that we are not told about in mainstream media. I mean, they're not going to talk about just saying the housing. You know, oh, yeah, there's a rise in housing and blah, 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 but they're not going to say, well, back in Detroit, Michigan, the housing's dropped because, you know, the water is contaminated and people are getting sick and getting, you know, all kinds of, you know, tumors and cancer, excuse me, knock on wood, and pray to God that we never get that. But they don't tell you that other part where there, you know, people are dying and being contaminated in the water. So, you know, they were actually sometimes spoon-fed to what they want you to hear, not what is the truth. And it is really depressing. And what you can do is just be thankful for what you have. You have a home. You have a loving husband. You have food on the table. You have the simple things. You know, you're aware of these things, but be happy and content of what you have.
I'm not psychic, but even I can sense this downhill slide with consciousness and society, and I mean, not to be doom and gloom, but I guess I'd kind of lean towards doom and gloom. But I don't see this ending well. I don't see how this can all change in an expeditious manner to where everything's going to be, you know, unicorns and roses.
You know what? I like the unicorn and roses idea. I
do too.
I mean, it would be happy unicorns and flowers and rainbows and puppies and kittens and all kinds of happiness. And another true thing, and it was, I think it was Uri Geller back in the day, the spoon bending dude. Okay. So,
oh, yeah.
So during like, what was it? It was like either a Premier League football match in Europe, England versus some other team. Uri got up to speak to the crowd of, 30,000 people. And he said, this was before the game, he gave a speech that England would win the football game if everyone believed the football would move ever so much for the extra point in the last minute that the kicker would miss the ball or something weird. So, believe it or not, on camera, either, you know, was it a camera trick or what was it, but England won, and the football, the soccer ball, moved a little bit, okay? And it moved just enough that the kicker missed his shot, okay? Now, if people can move a football, a soccer ball, with their thought, synchronistically, at once, why can't they change what's happening to the planet at once? And believing that we live in a perfect garden, okay, where we have clean water and beautiful food and gorgeous everything, you know, why can't we have that belief? Why can't we hold on to that belief? So why do we focus on what we don't understand and what we cannot control, but why can't we focus on creating a new wave, I like that, a new wave of clean, of life. So the first thing is like the Guar garbage patch in the Pacific Ocean, that plastic island the size of, what is it, like, half
Texas
of the United States now. No, I think it's grown.
Is it bigger?
I think it's grown. Yeah, it's bigger now. So if you could take that and use those plastics and use it for some kind of like a heating exchange program or something, or to how to clean the water, to superconduct the water so that the microplastics, you know, are used as some type of a fuel system or something, you know, that you can use as an alternative, you know, process so that we're not toxifying our environment anymore. So people can be forward thinking and saying, you know, hey, we're not going to colonize Mars. We're going to get away from this little galaxy and we're going to go out into space and we're going to live like a science fiction writer has prescribed for us to be, you know, for the future. I've come to this place where I think in a million years from now, who's going to know? Okay. And who's going to know in a million years, you know, is our ancestors going to be, you know, what's it going to be like in a million years time? I mean, if you think about it that way.
Wow. Yeah. I never thought about that way. Wow.
So when we go forward, in that much time, there was some other concept that I threw out there to my husband, and he didn't get it, and I wanted him to do a show on it. I was talking about the evolution of the next creation of man, or of life, or whatever it is. In the Gulf of Mexico, there's this little guy, like a salamander. It's called an axitol. You can cut his arm off, and it grows back, right? Do you guys know about the axitol? You know about this guy?
I don't, actually.
You don't know about it? You can seriously. You can cut its brain out. The brain grows back. I'm not kidding you. Cut its lung out. Same difference. And they're trying to you know, they've basically created an endangered species by sticking it in labs to try to find out the secret why it can regenerate, right? So my hypothesis is if we leave it alone, right, and let time take time's course, that our next fractal being could possibly have power of regeneration, and we would have a longer lifespan if we just left it alone. We don't know. So we don't know, you know, in theory, if we evolve in theory to some other type of being, because we don't see that far ahead. We don't look 60,000 years into the future. Most people don't have that insight to look that far ahead. Most people don't think, well, you know, the sun is going to go supernova, our planet's going to turn into a hot ball of nothing anyway, so we kind of need to get off the rock and out of our solar system and, you know, move forward in our life. I was saying, you know, hey, why don't we protect our planet for another 160,000 years and see what happens? That's where I'm at.
that would be awesome if we could speed up evolution so that I could be like Deadpool or Wolverine with the regeneration ability. That would be amazing.
But there really is that little guy that can do that in the real world.
Yeah, then absolutely. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, if you could just stop the whole process and just let nature be nature. So that's my spiel. So where are we at?
I think we have about 10 more minutes left.
So let's talk about the chemtrails, hey. Oh, my. Hey, ain't that something?
Yeah, are those real or is that just water vapor?
No, a lot of geoengineering does take place for our climatology. Let's see, in the European Union alone, they're practiced in trying to predict, you know, when it's going to rain, when it's going to snow, what's the best thing to prevent, you know, the global warming. So over the last probably give or take 35 to 40 years of exploration scientifically to protect our environment by geoengineering our climate. When I say geoengineering, of course, it's, you know, using, you know, earth sciences, or I'm not a geo person. I'm not a chemtrail kind of girl, but I know enough to know that the National Weather Service and a lot of folks try to, I don't know if anybody remembers cloud seeding.
I do.
It's probably before my time, but I've read about it. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's those are chemtrails, honey. And one of the processes that happens as a result is that it's out of control. So you've got one side trying to fix another problem the other side has created. When I say other side, I say other side of the pond, the other side of the Atlantic. I don't know what goes on with it. I'm not one of the people who's part of the opponents of creating the problem. I'm one of the persons that wants to try to have them stop doing it. Okay, so don't mess with the climate anymore. We can't fix it. We have to let it adjust itself naturally and stop messing with things. You know, it's like everybody wants to, you know, you get a headache, so you take a headache tablet. You know, why don't you just drink some clean water and rest or meditate? You know, don't run to the medicine cabinet. It's a quick fix society for a short term society that doesn't get the bigger picture. And I think people need to get the bigger picture to understand that these processes that, you know, like, you can see it happen in the sky when they do the big upper atmospheric into the ionosphere, and they're painting like whatever chemical it is, and then the next day it rains. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that it's all a big chem trail. Sorry.
I know people have, you know, they've analyzed stuff that's come out of the sky, and I know people are saying they were getting sick. And I saw one video of it was like a passenger plane, and the guy with the camera went into the cockpit and was asking about chemtrails and stuff like that. And there were like factory buttons that actually said chemtrail in the cockpit. It looked pretty real to me.
God.
So it wouldn't surprise me if they're trying to modify it. But it sounds like humanity is going out of its way to destroy the planet. With everything.
Yeah.
They're blasting what the magnetosphere, ionosphere, whatever, with HARP up in Alaska with high power microwaves or whatever it is. And it just sounds like we're just tearing the earth up.
And it's like, what was it? My husband and I were talking when we first met about, you know, what would happen if we shut everything down? And like, if we were perfectly quiet on our planet, what would it be like to have no interference with nature and let nature have just a little bit of a break here, right? Just give her a break. Just shut it down. Let's everybody be quiet. Shut it down so that it can heal. Because without stopping progress, I don't think the earth can regroup. And it's a great idea to think, you know, hey, how much carbon do we dump in our atmosphere every day of our lives or whatever the deal is. But if we would just, everybody would just stop and take a deep breath and visualize that we don't have to go down the tubes, even if Stephen Hawking says, hey, you only got 100 years left on the planet. So I think a lot of people took a lot of heart to that when that was spoken. So if everything were to just be quiet, shut down, could take a breath, and we could do that. Like, we could have like create a national Earth Day that you have to shut down all your electronics, everybody, everywhere across the nation, across the entire globe, at a certain time, that they just shut it down just for 3 minutes or 10 minutes at a time.
That
shut it down.
Absolutely huge impact.
Could you imagine all the Facebook,
amazing.
All the Facebook addicts start going into some sort of previously undiscovered withdrawals because they can't access the Wi-Fi?
Oh my God, like mass psychosis for people because they become addicted to their electronics. Oh my God.
I know.
That would be...
It's amazing how a lot of people are becoming addicted to that.
Oh wow. My son today said he wanted to sell both of his Xboxes, and he became self-aware, and he said, Mom, I'm not reading anymore. I can draw. I'm not drawing anymore. I'm just stuck to this electronic. And I'm like, wow, 12 years old and you're self-aware. Way to go, Liam. Yay.
Wow.
No, I know.
That's amazing.
I know, Sherry. It was like, whoa. I was just.
Wow.
Wow,
yeah,
good.
That kid's been around. He's an old soul, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think he's like my guy right now. My number one son. Yeah.
Yeah, he's just a beautiful soul. Wow. So, yeah, but we, you know, a lot of things, it's just being aware. It's, you know, that's all we can do and do what we can in our little world, you know, to make things better. Even if it's a small impact, it is an impact. It's either positive or negative. I don't feel there's nothing neutral. It's either positive or negative. Your thoughts, your feelings, your actions, Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, that's all we can do is just do, you know, what we can individually.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at the clock, and we are running out of time. So, hey, I want to thank you so much for coming on tonight and sharing your thoughts with us and your knowledge with us this evening.
Well, thanks for having me, and I was I'm just kind of burning out, so I'm going to go recharge my battery here. And just thank you so much, and just keep in mind, if we can try to keep in mind, to just have that silence, you know, over our whole globe, just for that moment, just so the earth can get a breather, you know. I think that that can really help heal her, okay? That's where I'm at. And I want to thank you both for having me. And Sherry, I am looking so forward to working out with you. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, that's amazing. That's so much in common. But, yes, I would love to. Anyway, yeah, thank you so much for your time, for coming on our show. Thank your husband for us for coming on last week. I know he's busy on air, you know, he's all over the United States. You can listen to him globally on his radio show. But we want to thank you both and each and every guest that we have every week. They donate their hour and a half of their time to just to be with us and to share their knowledge or experiences with the listeners. I thank them and our listeners, because if it wasn't for our guests or our listeners, we wouldn't have a show and we won't be as successful as we've been. So just want to thank all of you.
Well, you're very, very welcome. And thank you guys for being out here. So,
yay.
Anyway, have a good night.
Hey,
I'm out of here. Later.
Take
bye-bye,
care.
Guys.
You
take
too.
Care of yourself.
Goodbye.
Take some care. All right.
I think the Earth...
and another week down and another week to go.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think the Earth is going to cleanse itself. You know?
You think so?
I think we're going to hit...
genocide or something, you think so?
I think that the Earth has pretty good track record that's established geologically that at least certain parts of the planet are going to cleanse themselves, be it Yellowstone erupting or being hit by an asteroid or something, a virus. It has to have its own protection mechanism. I mean, with the way everything works in the universe and in the natural world, there has to be some sort of contingency plan for humanity. So, you know, maybe that's being doom and gloom. I don't know, but that just seems logical to me.
Well, you and I, Jason, we, you know, that's so great about us, because you're kind of doom and gloom, and I'm not the Pollyanna, but
I
try and look at things in a more positive way, but also be a realistic. You know, there's always a balance. Always trying to be positive, but also look at the realistic side of things. So, you know, trying to create that balance in our viewpoint and our attitudes. That's all we can do, is be the best person we can be at that given moment.
Absolutely. So what do we got going next week?
Well, I'm not sure, Jason. Sorry about that, but I think we've got a couple guests, but I will have to get back on to you. But it's always, we always have some good guests, and I'm looking forward to it, and I just got to get back on track. So, yeah, I'm going through a hump right now.
Well, you know, me and you, we haven't talked for a while, so we could do that, too.
We can do that. That's great. It's been a while.
Yeah,
heck yeah. It's been, at least 3 months, something like that. It's been a while.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just do
that.
Cool. We won't have a guest. We won't we're getting booked in September, and we'll see what goes on, but let's go and just do our show on our by ourselves, and yeah, that'd be great. Take any viewer call-ins or anything like that. I'm open to that too.
Yeah, we can. I can always babble about anything in the paranormal. So
that's true.
We can do that.
So could we? Anything paranormal, metaphysical, conspiracy, spiritual. Hey, we can run the gamut.
Absolutely. Well, unless you have anything else, I guess we'll close it out.
No, we don't. And again, thank you guys for just being with us. And just supporting us. And if you have any questions or want to share anything on Facebook, share. We'd be happy to share it with our not only our listeners, but also our viewers that goes on our page. So that'd be awesome. Yay!
Hey, absolutely. So we'll see everybody next Sunday, 8 p.m. And give us a like on Facebook, Paranormal Horizons on Facebook. And we'll see everybody next Sunday. Good night, everyone. Hope you have a safe and fantastic week. Good night.
Take care, everybody. Thanks a lot. Peace.